This BBC podcast is supported by ads outside the UK.
An alle, die noch Großes vorhaben. Morgen sind 75 Millionen im Euro-Jackpot. Gönn dir deine Chance auf 75 Millionen Euro-Jackpot. Dienstag, Freitag, Jackpot-Fieber. Überall bei Lotto und auf lottohessen.de. Chance 1 zu 140 Millionen. Mehr auf lottohessen.de.
The moment of shock is just unforgettable.
From CBC and the BBC World Service, The Con, Caitlin's Baby, available now.
It's an icy winter's night in Ludwigshafen in southwest Germany. I'm walking along the bank of one of Europe's great trade arteries, the Rhine River. There are barges laden with goods moving past me, and on the skyline ahead, there are countless cooling towers, pipes, cranes, and steam rising off the giant chemicals production plant of the German industrial giant BASF. The company really is the foundation of Ludwigshafen's economy. It's been here for 160 years, and the city has grown up around the industry. But what happens to a city like this when that industry hits a crisis?
I see very many people who are very unsure about their future.
My father works 33 years in the BASF. For me, this was the only company I this was the only option, yes.
When you are looking on economics, there's no plan B.
This weakness in the German economy is becoming chronic.
Germany is just weeks away from a federal election pitting traditional parties against populist insurgents on both the right and the left. Voters in towns and cities like Ludwigshafen will decide what comes next.
So let's head to Germany, where a political crisis has erupted.
Here in Germany, political parties are launching their campaigns for the election on February 23rd.
I'm Jeremy Cliff, and from the BBC World Service, this is Rebellion on the Rhine. I work at the European Council on Foreign Relations in Berlin and have covered German politics for almost a decade. But I've never known the country's mood to be so low. German politics is usually stable and, for most outside observers, even rather boring. But that's not true anymore. Established parties are on the back foot. Challengers, including the far-right Alternative for Germany, or AfD, are on the rise. This is about more than just one shade of government or another. The whole future of Europe's biggest economy is in question. Sprawling along the Rhine, the city of Ludwigshafen sums up all the most significant forces at work. Industrial decline, geopolitical turmoil, and political flux. The AfD is gaining ground here, and it needs to if it's going to break out of its strongholds in Germany's poorer post-communist East.
Ludwigshafen is a fascinating city. It's basically a giant chemical plant with a few houses attached to it.
This is Max Krahe from the think tank Die Zernad Zukunft, one of the people I trust most when it comes to understanding the link between Germany's politics and its economy.
From an economic point of view, I think of cheap Russian gas imports and high-value, very sophisticated chemical exports. So it summarizes a lot of the drivers of success in the 1990s and 2000s and a lot of the risks that have now come to pass and that are haunting us today.
And when one says BASF, when one talks about this company, it's really up there with Volkswagen, Siemens, BMW, the giants of German industry. What role have those sorts of companies played in the recent history of the Federal Republic?
They've anchored not just our business model, but our society.
The story of BASF is in many ways the story of modern Germany, and I've come to Ludwigshafen to try and find out where that goes next. Someone who's lived that story is Tony Amato, who's worked at BASF for 40 years and now sits on its Works Council as a union representative. I met Tony and his daughter Anastasia, a student, in December for a kitchen table conversation.
My parents came from Sicily. And in 1974, they came in Germany, Ludwigshafen, for the BASF. My father Sie haben Gastarbeiter gesucht in Ludwigshafen?
So he was hired as a guest worker. So
genau, guest workers, yes.
Did you always expect to work for the company?
My father works 33 years in the BASF. For me, this was the only company I... This was the only option, yes.
Hi.
Hello.
That's my daughter.
Hello, my name is Anastasia. Hi.
Really nice to meet you.
She speaks much better than me.
Could you contemplate going into the company like your father did before?
To be...
Keep up the family tradition.
Yes.
To be honest, I don't know. Well, it would be a great plan, I think, because my dad already worked there, my grandpa, my whole family. But I'm not sure, because my dad always tells me about what's going on, and I'm not impressed about it.
So, exists.
And just talking about this crisis after crisis after crisis of the last few years, yeah. I mean, does your generation, are they feeling that too? I mean, is it shaping how they see the future of their careers as they join the labor market?
Yes, for sure. I have many, many, many friends who don't know what they want to do as a job because they see all these problems in many, many factories and many workplaces. So
yeah,
I see very many people who are very unsure about their future.
Well, I'm here in Friesenheim, which is a suburb of Ludwigshafen, close to the BASF site. And it's a sort of cluster of tall apartment blocks with a scattering of community buildings in parks between them. And we're standing outside one of them and about to go in and meet some people who have a long association with BASF, and that's the company's workers' choir. I'm sitting down with choir members Astrid Ruppel and Heike Bernhardt. What's the connection with the city's economy?
BASF has several work clubs, some of them for 150 years already. The singing club is just one of them. There's also a tennis club, there's a swimming club, which has an exclusive area reserved only for BASF members. BASF was always committed to offer social and cultural life for their employees after work.
And what's it like to work in such a traditional company?
When you worked at BASF, there was this expression, our factory. Our factory, not just anyone's factory. It was a feeling of belonging. That had disappeared a bit because the people at BASF are no longer coming from nearby, but from all over the world. We have employees from Asia, South America, wherever. It's all globalized now.
And at the same time, this was always a city of immigration. There were a lot of guest workers in the post-war decades.
The Italians were the biggest group in the beginning. Later, people from Turkey came as well, and people from all over. They came after the war when demand for workers was high.
My conversation with the choir members evoked the post-war golden age of the German economy. In the decades of the Federal Republic's so-called economic miracle, the rapid growth of companies like BASF meant good jobs for both locals and immigrants like Tony Amato's father. That's a far cry from today, when BASF is cutting some jobs and outsourcing others. Global events have driven this trend. First came the economic shock of the COVID-19 pandemic. Then Russia's full-scale invasion of Ukraine pushed up energy prices, a big problem for the BASF plant, which consumes about as much gas as the whole of Switzerland. All the while, China increasingly makes at home the sorts of products, like cars, machine parts, and chemicals, that it used to buy from Germany. BASF insists that it remains committed to Ludwigshafen, but it wants to save 1 billion euros a year there by 2026. That means some 2,500 job cuts and whole sections of the plant closing down. It's just one example of a wider German story. Max Krahe again.
The BASFs and Siemens and Mercedes and BMWs of Germany, and they generated a self-understanding and identity and an economic base, all in wrapped into one. But we've reached a point where that's yesterday's future, and people feel it. People know it.
The city of Ludwigshafen is heavily indebted. Bridges over the Rhine are decrepit. Shops stand empty. A giant hole takes up an entire block in the city centre, where an investor went bankrupt. Local artist Helmut Buchholz showed it to me.
Helmut, I just forgot. It was the Christmas market.
So the hole, the loch.
The loch of Ludwigshafen. Mm.
And just to describe for listeners what we're looking at now, we're standing at some fencing right in the middle of Ludwigshafen in front of what can only be described as a giant hole. It's about the size of a city block. It's about three stories deep by the standards of most buildings. And it's been standing here for about a decade.
This was called Tortenschachtel, what means a box for cakes.
The cake
because
box.
It was round. Also in English, Loch sounds better than hole. Well, because it's a little bit Loch Ness also.
It sounds romantic.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you that the city has been changed a lot in the last years, and not in a good direction.
Not far from the hole, I met cultural journalist Annika Wind, who lives in Ludwigshafen and has been writing about the city's woes. So how do the problems facing BASF affect the cultural life here in Ludwigshafen, which you cover and write about?
Lots of cultural activities are not possible without the money of the BASF, and there's no plan B in the town. For example, in 2023, there was a discussion if the politics will close all the libraries in Ludwigshafen.
All of them.
Wow. Because there's no money left.
Anastasia and Tony Amato echoed these concerns.
Well, basically, the city centre is not really existing anymore. There are no windows. There's basically nothing. Yeah, it's completely empty now.
The economic situation, also at BASF, is dominated by cuts in spending. The company is cutting costs a lot. Society is being polarized by certain parties. The AfD has a lot of support here. Sadly, also from the younger generation. Young people are receptive to the AfD slogans.
Do you know people who are thinking of voting AfD?
Yeah.
My neighbor, he votes AfD. He's a pensioner who worked at BASF. Even though he's doing well, he's influenced by the headlines about dangerous migrants, and he's scared. And a lot of people in Germany share this fear.
You're listening to the documentary from the BBC World Service.
I'm Sarah Trelevin, and for over a year, I've been working on one of the most complex stories I've ever covered.
There was somebody out there who was faking pregnancies.
I started, warning everybody. Every doula that I know.
It was fake.
No pregnancy.
And the deeper I dig, the more questions I unearth.
How long has she been doing this?
What does she have to gain from this?
From CBC and the BBC World Service, The Con, Caitlin's Baby.
It's a long story. Settle in.
Available now.
Ludwigshafen is a traditional stronghold of the two big established German parties. It was long dominated by the centre-left Social Democrats, the party of current German Chancellor Olaf Scholz. But in local and European elections held last June, the far-right AfD scored 20% in Ludwigshafen. In the European vote, it even overtook the Social Democrats here. A further 6% of votes went to an entirely new anti-establishment party, the Zahra-Wagenknecht Alliance, or BSW, which combines economic leftism with a critical stance towards immigration and social liberalism. Before I returned to Berlin, I met up with Silas Walz, one of the new BSW members of Ludwigshafen's City Council, and at 25, its youngest representative.
Your party is a new political startup founded by Zahra Wagenknecht. Mm-hmm. Her name's in the title. But I've always thought of her as more of a figure of the eastern states. But here we are, deep in western Germany, by the Rhine. Do you find that people know who she is? Can they relate to what she's saying?
Definitely. She's one of the most famous politicians in all over Germany. We needed her name to put those values up.
What sort of values?
You know, the combination of conservatism to a certain degree and leftist views on politics.
Where do you find people who are voting for your party tend to come from? Where did they, who did they vote for before?
Many of our voters formerly voted for my former party, the left.
The left.
Another huge party is the SPD, Social Democrats. We've got a lot of voters from them. Their values in like the 70s or 80s are ours now. Yeah. So higher minimum wage and better schooling, better healthcare, stuff like that. More social justice. The housing topic is a huge one on us. And the Social Democrats just lost. They just lost their values. I think due to the many coalitions with the conservative CDU.
The BSW is well outside the German mainstream on some issues, especially foreign policy ones. It's lured some rebellious voters away from other parties, especially those who've lost faith in that mainstream but still consider the far-right AfD to be dangerous. Because the AfD is a different creature altogether. Germany's Federal Intelligence Agency classifies it as a suspected extremist organization, but they are polling at around 20% in the latest national opinion polls. In mid-January, I returned to Ludwigshafen to see that for myself. Well, I've just arrived at the New Year's reception of the Ludwigshafen AfD, and it certainly has higher security than one would usually expect from a German political event in a medium-sized city, which I think is just a reminder of quite how polarizing the AfD is in German society. On the margins of the AfD's New Year's gathering in Ludwigshafen, I got talking to locals who'd recently joined the party.
My name is Mia. I'm from nearby. I'm living nearby Ludwigshafen, and I'm 37 years old, and I recently joined the party.
The AfD blames high migration numbers and refugees for Germany's problems, and Mia is herself the daughter of migrants. But it's clear from talking to her how the party's vocal online presence resonates with individual voters.
What inspired you to join the party?
I'm afraid to go out on the street. There are lots of places where I'm afraid of to go there. Therefore, I thought that I need to change something. I cannot sit on the couch and complain all the time. I need to do something. And that's why I decided to be part of this party. People outside think, the society thinks that the AfD is racist. I did a lot of research. And I got to know that our media here in Germany is not free. And there is a lot of brainwashing going on here.
What
brainwashing subjects? About the left and woke mindset.
Anna Nguyen is an AfD member of parliament in the neighbouring state of Hessen.
Some of the answers, and you included a number of them in your speech just now, they feel a bit like it's sort of rolling the clock back. So we'll switch the nuclear power stations back on, we'll stick to combustion engine, Frau Weidel, your Chancellor candidate who you spoke of, she says we're going to pull down the wind turbines. Mm-hmm. Quite aside from any sort of ideological considerations, it feels a bit like it's hitting rewind. Mm-hmm. Is that, do you see where I'm coming from?
Yes, and you're right, because it's reasonable. I mean, it's all about increasing the energy supply, because energy supply is, I think, the main topic why German industries are leaving Germany. I mean, BASF is the biggest, is the best example. They are investing $10 billion in China, and they're leaving Germany and Ludwigshafen bit by bit, right? Because energy is much, much cheaper in China than in Germany. So
I think, once again, with this returning to coal power, a lot of it seems to be turning the clock back. But if I understand you right, that's not something that you see
it's
as
reasonable.
A problem.
Yeah, it's reasonable. If you're looking at the other countries, that's exactly what other countries do. They know that industries need energy.
I was startled at the frankness of this admission. But reflecting on everything I'd learnt about Ludwigshafen, it made some sense. Especially in these western heartlands of the German economy, identity and industry are almost impossible to separate. But to vote AfD is to vote for a fusion of this restorationism with widely recognized extremist elements. The party's leader in the eastern state of Thuringia, Björn Höcke, has criticized the Holocaust Memorial in Berlin as a, quote, monument of shame in the heart of the German capital, and has used the Nazi slogan, everything for Germany. I asked Anna Nguyen whether this bothered her.
No, not at all. I mean, if we're looking at Björn Höcke, he is very, very successful in Thuringia. So, I mean, we came in first in the last election, and I don't mind him saying the things he says.
It's important to remember when talking to AfD politicians that there's an image game going on. When speaking to international media, they're keen to push back against the impression that theirs is an extremist party. But the AfD's message to voters online strikes a much darker tone, weaving economic woes and migration into a tale of national decline. Economic trauma leading to political reorientation. It's a familiar story in global politics. But stopping the bleeding of voters from the mainstream bloc will be a major challenge for any new German government.
So by now it's clear that it's not just cyclical, it's not just one or two bad years, it's not even just COVID. There is something structural going on, and now we have to respond.
Max Krahey again.
I think all the credible responses that different parties are outlining involve an increase in investment. Both in order to stimulate the economy now, but also to lay the foundations for a new German economy in the future.
With 5 weeks to go until the election, I asked some of those Ludwigshafen locals I'd met in December to meet me at Maffenbayer, a pub near the BASF factory that's been serving thirsty workers for well over a century. The culture journalist Annika Wind, Astrid Ruppel from the BASF choir, Tony Amato from the company's Works Council, and his daughter Anastasia. I met you all on my last trip to Ludwigshafen, and I wanted to get you together here at this traditional local pub. We're close to the BASF works. This feels like deep, real Ludwigshafen, I hope you agree. What are the themes that are motivating your vote?
For me, the important thing is this social way, mm-hmm. and that every people have money for the economy and can spend, because the people are, is that much bound?
Saving. Yeah. They're not spending.
Yes, and the economy is really down.
Yeah.
Yes, and I hope that this can be the engine for try the economy higher.
What would put Ludwigshafen into in a place where in 4 years people feel a bit more secure in every sense?
There are lots of changements, lots of buildings are damaged, lots of places has to be new developed, and at the moment there are not lots of places where people can meet each other and have the feeling that they would like to stay. Yeah, for example,
places like this pub.
Yeah, places like this pub, or for example, you have the Berliner Platz, which is for years a big hole.
I'm familiar with that that hole. There's a lot of polarization out there. You know, there's a lot of sense that we're quite divided as a country. I mean, what do you think? And this is an open question: can bring Germans together more and close?
There are a lot of associations in Ludwigshafen.
Yeah,
a lot of people from every age come together and feel safe and confident in their...
Secure
in their association. And I think it's important to tell the rest from the people in Ludwigshafen that there are different opinions to come.
So sort of acceptance of that pluralism.
Yes.
that's what I can say about Ludwigshafen is that this town has to create a plan B for themselves, because they are just focused on BASF. That's the heart of the town, and if this heart is not beating anymore, the city has no plan B.
So Tony, you seem to be agreeing, but that surprises me. You're a BASF guy. Does this make sense to you, or do you think?
I think so too. Well, yes, because we have no sea here. We have no many hotels and beautiful places here. We have only have to work, spend our monies in other beautiful cities and states. Yes.
Germany seems to be pulled a bit between these two things, between this fear and insecurity and this potential, this possibility. It's probably not the only country that's true of, but it does strike me as a journalist following this country that there's a real push and pull between those. You're nodding, Annika. Let's say it in German. German Mut or German Angst? Courage or fear? What's going to win?
German ideas, I hope, will be the force to recreate new chances.
German ideas. Astrid, what do you think?
I think it's a question from the different generations.
Anastasia, you're the voice of the youth here. What do you think? Do you think this country can reinvent itself for the future?
Yes, it can. It has much potential, but this potential needs to be used. You just see the potential in this country and just develop new ideas and develop new strategies. That's very important. And I think the potential is there, yeah.
And do you think German politics has the ability to drive that change?
In this moment, no. But I hope for a future. Yeah. We'll see after the elections.
The result of the election on February the 23rd will show us where Germans vest those hopes for the future. Sometimes, looking into that future can be a bit like peering into that hole in the middle of Ludwigshafen, a vortex of economic decline and political discord, each feeding the other. But the fundamental solution to Germany's problems is the same as the solution to that hole in the heart of the city. Rethink, break through the deadlock, and build something new. Rebellion on the Rhine was a Whistledown production for the BBC World Service. It was presented by me, Jeremy Cliff, and produced by Jeannie Gehring.
I'm Sarah Trelevin, and for over a year, I've been working on one of the most complex stories I've ever covered.
There was somebody out there who was faking pregnancies.
I started, warning everybody. Every doula that I know.
It was fake.
No pregnancy.
And the deeper I dig, the more questions I unearth.
How long has she been doing this?
What does she have to gain from this?
From CBC and the BBC World Service, The Con, Caitlin's Baby.
It's a long story. Settle in.
Available now.